the fact, if you wanted to do it legislatively instead of applicant initiated, and as a way to sort of all at once get some lands in, you could move that quarter mile around so that when you draw that quarter mile and the one piece you're testing, if you're doing it legislatively, that anything within that quarter mile that also meets the income test could be included as marginal. So if you draw that quarter mile around a perimeter of one of the parcels and it meets the test of 50% or 20 acres or less, that you would include everything in that area as marginal as long as it meets the income test. And that would, I would think, help out with the counties instead of going through, you know, one application at a time saying, here's one application, we'll draw the quarter acre around that. But it would give the counties, it seems to me, some flexibility on where they located. And then anything, if it just touches a piece, anything within that would be considered marginal. I would also include on that test for parcelization that the rural residential or exceptions be included in the calculations, and that you would leave the contiguous owned by spouse, parent, or child, or sister, brother, and except you would say if it is separated by a road, it could be counted as two separate, it would not be counted as one parcel.
Are you reading from something that I could read along with?
Yeah, right here. No, it says by Representative Hooley, right there.
From this?
The first one.
Okay.
Representative Trader.
Question, would you explain further on your last third item, the contiguous on last one by?
Well, right now it's defined. Representative Trahern, when you're doing the parcelization test, you know, we were looking at that they were, if it's parcelized 20 acres or less, 50% has to be 20 acres or less. You would use that same test that you currently use so that if Farmer Jones owned parcel 1 and Farmer Jones owned parcel 2, you would count that as one parcel. And where I would be, and remember, and this would be included the rural residential, where I would make an exception to that on the contiguous portion, if there were a road in between, then I would not count that as contiguous.
Madam Chair.
Representative Henderson.
I guess I have to try to understand your reasoning on including the parents and children, et cetera, et cetera. There's been some topic of conversation that just the married couple or any combination, it's a single lot by the wife or the husband or a combination thereof, would be proper to say that's one parcel. I still have a little difficulty understanding the reasonings on something that's given to children or parents.
Well, you're only counting that for purposes of a test. You're not doing that for lot of record. You're not doing any of the other. My feeling is if you allow them to use rural residential which adds to calculation considerably by allowing rural residential exceptions. Plus, if you give the counties the flexibility, if they're going to do it legislatively, of putting that parcel wherever they want, and anything that falls within that quarter mile, or even a portion of another lot that falls within the quarter mile, I guess by doing the other end there, I get a little nervous that you've gone too far, and I guess it's trying to find that balance. It is on this particular test.
And Chair, I wonder if we could have the Washington County planner come and tell us the difference between the two.
You're the Washington County planner, at least the last time I knew you were.
That's right. I was discussing
it. Chair, the question is, do you have the document that we're looking from here? At the bottom, when we get into contiguous for purposes of partialization, what would be the difference between saying it is only one parcel of all land owned by the couple or the spouse or their combinations thereof?
The difference
between that and if you just left it with that, or if you included parent, child, sister, brother, how much more are you going to open it up? Or is it going to make any material difference?
In our calculations, we assumed this. Richard Daniels, Planning Director, Washington County. In the test that we did on marginal lands, this using this definition as it is met our needs. What it does by excluding parent or child, sister or brother would open it up somewhat to additional properties. So you could. It would make it easier to meet the test.
Another question, Madam Chair. To what degree are you talking about? Can you give me a percentage, you know, nothing accurate, but 10% more, 20% more, 5% more?
I'd love to be able to answer that, but I really can't. It's without the specifics. It's difficult to really say.
Rick, I guess I would ask you one question, too. Those, by allowing that flexibility and allowing the county to sort of designate which spot you're going to take that quarter acre, that quarter mile from, does that also allow additional lands to fall into the parcelization table?
Very much. It's adds greatly to the flexibility of those designations.
That's why I had discussed with Representative Anderson deleting the parent, child, brother, and sister portion, the relative portion, leaving the spouse in there. But after I looked at doing this, which would give the county more flexibility, I guess decided that I wasn't willing to do more.
Well, I'm not sure. I guess, you know, that's a given. I'm just trying to get a handle on what degree the problem is out there. And I guess if we don't know, granted you seem to loosen it up by the perimeter thing, being able to move it around like checkerboard or something. I guess, given that, I might be inclined to yield on that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
You've been with Washington County how long?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
How long have you been with Washington County?
How long have I been with Washington County? 2 years.
Well, it wouldn't apply then. I'd have to talk to somebody who's been there longer. What I'd like to know, if this has been a common practice where a family splits up some ground and puts it in all different names like we hear about.
Madam Chairman, Representative Parkinson, from looking at the tax records, and it's not uncommon practice anytime a new regulation is adopted, once people realize it's being adopted, often people will try and beat the law. And we even have parcels that are sitting out that in order to beat the law went out and poured just foundations on property to beat the requirements as they were coming into effect.
Madam Chair.
Representative Two.
I understand that the other 35 counties haven't done that nearly as much as has been done in Washington County. Is that your understanding, number one? And number two, I understand that when it was done in Washington County, that there was an organization that encouraged and really campaigned with its members to do that kind of activity, that kind of checkerboarding. Could you verify, one, whether Washington County is really the county, individuals in the county seem to have abused that or attempted to circumvent the law more than the other 35? And number two, was that an orchestrated effort when that happened?
Well, I can't speak to it because I wasn't there, but we have had in the planning process Washington County, even during the 73 period to now, extensive citizen involvement, and part of that citizen involvement is explaining the rules. And any time you explain the rules over 7 years, people learn how to beat the rules. And
One last question, and then we have
to answer either of my questions, but I guess that's all right.
Well, Representative Trainer,
you've got the sheets in front of you. I probably referenced page 3, which talks about a single-family dwelling. It's also talking about a lot or parcel lawfully created before 7183, subject to local regulation. Mm-hmm. If we were trying to use that kind of definition rather than the contiguous lots or parcels owned by sponsors and so forth, would that open up more or close down the? What I'm asking is, I guess these parcels that have been created, are they were they lawfully created?
The answer to that question is yes. The ones are illawfully created or not created within the regulations. At least in our county, we keep track of those tax maps, and if they have not gone through the minor petition process, they would not be eligible for the permits. Now, make sure I understand what I think the committee understands is, for the purposes of calculating, we're using contiguous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But for the purposes of issuing permits, which is what the section this deals with, then every one of those, even if they were contiguous, would be eligible for permits.
That's correct, but Madam Chair, I guess my question is, why? What's so bad about using the in the calculation of the area of using lawfully created lot?
In the initial attempt, well, every time you do one, you know, one thing, it's got sort of a rippling effect, and we looked at, which this pertains to, we looked at any lands that were identified as marginal. You would open the lot of record just wide open to everything.
Madam Chairman, in response to clearly answer Representative Tripp's question, checking county history, I would have to agree with your description.
We have just been ordered to go to the floor of the House.
Can we have the staff put us up in a hand engrossed bill of the adopted amendments, or do we have one of those in the file? I don't seem to have one.
We have not adopted them, and that's why.
We have adopted some amendments.
It's some amendments.
If we have a hand engrossed of that, then the staff will return.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm the balloon sheet thing.
That's it.
Can't it be engrossed?
No, you can't do it, Wally, because the bill has to be totally engrossed. You can't do it. We will have a draft before we finally vote it out. I mean, we can only go through and do the amendments accepted in. We have to do it. We are in a work session on Senate Bill 237. I would like to let the audience know, for your information, that we are subject to call the House, so at any minute we could be leaving again. And the reason it took us so long to get back is that we had several calls of the House. So we have moved rather slowly on the floor today. Hope we can move a little more quickly in committee. Beth, do you have any information you want to have the committee? Is Gordon Foltz here? Gordon Foltz. Russ, do you have, I've asked a couple times for some written information from what some of the planners looked at. Do you have any of that information, written information?
In terms of what we looked at?
Yeah.
Not
well, I asked for some written information, if there were any, you know, concrete suggestions on how to handle this administratively for the planners. How the planners were going to handle this administratively.
I don't have it in writing. I can briefly go through it orally, probably quicker than I could in writing.
Okay. Would you like to do that, Russ, please?
As I understand...
Let's give your name first.
Yeah, Russ Nebon, Marion County Planning Director. Counties have essentially two options as I see it. One is they can amend their comprehensive plan to identify the marginal lands concept and either designate it on their comprehensive plan map through the planning process or through the zone change process, designate blobs, as we've been talking about, as marginal land areas. That would mean that they would be in a separate zone and it would be a cohesive unit. The other option would be to amend your comprehensive plan to build the concept in and then just indicate that rather than doing it through the planning process, you are going to await individual property owners to apply for the zone meeting the criteria, and you would then grant a zone change, not a comp plan change, but a zone change to designate that land marginal lands and give them the benefits of the bill. And so you would be doing it on an individual parcel basis instead of the blob basis.
You could do it through, the planner could initiate it, or the county could initiate it, or it could be applicant initiated.
Yeah, the difficulty we ran into is when we went into the task force meetings, I was attempting to be able to do it within the EFU zone. And it turns out that in order to do that and still not have the automatic qualification for the farm deferral, we would have to go into 308 and amend that, and that would get things all tangled up procedurally. So I didn't get everything I wanted, but I think the individual applicant quasi-judicial approach comes as close to my objective as we're going to be able to get in the bill.
Elizabeth? Did you have some comment, Elizabeth?
I'm not sure. I'm just not clear on what he's proposing to do, and would need some, probably, to work with Russ to figure that out if you decide to go with it.
Madam Chair?
Representative Drew?
I was of the understanding that you had asked for that material to be presented in writing so we would have something to react to. I was also of the understanding that everybody understood this was to be the final work session and we would stay here until the package was completed this evening. Again, this is the 21st hearing or work session that this bill has had in this legislative process. And it was last week you asked people to get together, come up with some constructive suggestions. I don't understand why that's not in writing. I don't understand why it's not something that we can react to.
Representative True, other than the direction to Mr. Pultz where I asked him to get a hold of some of the planners so that they could do some field testing, which I was hoping we would have information on, and which we did to a certain extent from Kirk County and from Mr. Glode. That's what we have, and because Mr. Pulse's father is ill, this has now been left up to Mr. Niebaum. I will say that our committee administrator has spent many, many hours this last week with Mr. Niebaum, Mr. Fultz, Mr. McPherson, and Mr. Benner working, and you do have in front of you amendments adopted by committee is on the first page, and then after that we have called that group the task force where people were trying to get together and work out some compromises and work out administratively how it would work. And you will have before you a series of proposed amendments that the group has agreed to, of 15, actually 16.
If I may.
And I do appreciate all your work, Russ,
well,
and all your time as
we
well.
We appreciate the opportunity, Madam Chairman. To Representative Troop, I would just say that until Wednesday morning at about lunchtime, I had conceived of preparing something that would identify three different ways. I found out that the third way would not work. It was common understanding that the other two were allowable the way the bill was constructed. There was no question of problems with the bill limiting either of those procedures. And I apologize if I didn't give it to you in writing, but it was my understanding we had no more problem with that issue and didn't need to have it in writing. So I'm sorry if that's a problem.
Okay, you're talking about the using the contiguous as opposed to the perimeter.
Talking about either using it legislatively, where you identify a large blob, or using the quarter mile test on an individual parcel. I think those difficulties have primarily been worked out, and we have no problems with understanding how those two ways would work under the bill.
Thank you. What I would like to do is, if everybody will take the just a second here, get all my stuff together. I will go first to the First Amendment that I proposed for the parcelization test. I guess, Russ, that I would like you to come up just one more minute for to ask you a question. You have looked at my proposed amendment where you're using the perimeter test on the parcelization purposes. It's on the first page. It says, amendment proposed by Representative Hooley.
Yes.
Where you can move that target around and give you some flexibility when you do that quarter mile perimeter. Do you have any problems with that? Do you
No.
feel that will work well?
No, I think it's just a case of whether you're thinking from inside out or from outside in.
Well, I'm saying for this, for so you can do it legislatively where you can say this looks like it, and everything within that would then become marginal lands if it meets the income test.
That's fine with us.
All right. I would have you look at that, which is my amendment, which we looked at, seems to give the counties more flexibility. It does make it looser. They could then go ahead and designate some, they could designate the areas, which I think would make it easier. I would also propose that the rural residential exceptions be included in the calculation for the parcelization test. We would remain to keep parcels within in the urban growth boundary out. Representative Trahern.
Madam Chair, I would move to amend the bill with Legislative Council SB 237B-10, dated
6/17/83. Just a second, let me get my bill.
Madam Chair, question of staff.
Yes, Representative Drew.
Do we all have copies of that, Beth?
No, I just have some.
Oh.
The bill.
The bill. The bill you mentioned.
237B-10.
Right here.
Oh, what is it?
This is a brand new one.
We haven't seen.
We haven't seen this one, yes. That would be new one.
This is done with.
This was done with 48 hours advance notice.
This is Representative Trahern and 1,000 friends compromised with you.
What's the date?
Second test.
You want one too?
17.
Well, I don't believe we have enough. We're missing two.
Sorry, but you.
Why didn't we receive it till now? Two more. Madam Chair, question.
Representative True.
17.
I had the feeling you were going through some discussion leading to a motion of your own.
Representative Trahern jumped in ahead of me. Representative Troop and has a motion for us.
Okay.
Good
motion, Madam Chair.
How about Representative Trahern, you explain what the amendments are?
That's what I'd like to do.
Thank you.
These are a simple little amendment, Madam Chair, that simply says that the commission shall adopt new rules to address the marginal land issue and also the contiguous lot issue. And the reason I bring it up now, rather than attempting to go through the many proposed amendments that we may make, is that I personally believe that we are not going to be able to get resolution on these very complex issues that we've been talking about for the last, as Representative Pugh pointed out, 21, I think it was, hearings. And this seems like it would be a solution that we could adopt, get past, and get the problem solved. It would not, it would allow then the commission to make the changes that they see as necessary to report back. Well, they should have those done according to these by January 1 of 1985. And I think rather than try to go through all these other steps and
see how badly confused we all can get, which I know I am, and I think some of the other members may be. It looks to me like it would be a better way and would allow for variances across the state if the commission could allow. To point out one thing, and I got tied up in trying to make amendments to my amendments. As you say, 48 hours notice isn't bad when you're trying to do them here on the table, too. Some of the copies you have, and I would suggest it as a part of the amendment, and some of the copies did not get changed, would have the lot of records effective between January 1 of 1948 and the current date, effective date of this bill. Some of those, that amendment, that's on line 28, did not get made to all of the copies that were distributed.
Madam Chair, can that be redone so we know what we're doing?
I apologize to the committee for not getting those all changed, but I wanted to get
that's
that.
All right. There's only a couple, isn't there?
There's some are good and some are not, but I would suggest that.
Okay.
The second thing that you may find on some of them, again, I was running short on time, is I was attempting to take out the word relatives on page 2, line 8. Because in a quick conference with the legislative council, it was not my intent to leave blood relatives in the change in lot of record bill, but to leave same person, spouses, or single partnership or business entity in there. I'd like to ask the legislative council if, considering lines, because when I read it further, lines 10, 11, and 12 and 13, whether in fact they are or are not in there, and I'm a little confused on the
Elizabeth, copy of the amendment.
You're asking whether or not lots are contiguous if they are owned by the same relative under these amendments. The provision for relatives is still in here, noting that it does go on to say that it only applies to relatives if the relatives bought the lots from each other, and not if you could still have two relatives living next door to each other on contiguous lots if they'd each bought the lot from a different person. If this relative sold the lot to, you know, one person sold the lot next to him to his brother, that would be one contiguous lot.
But if his brother moved up from California and purchased the lot next door to build on, it would not be a contiguous
from somebody else, right?
Again, some of the copies that you have distributed had bracketed out relatives. I think that should be left in that case, because that would cover the main concern that many of us had.
Representative Prager, and we will leave your motion on the floor or on the table. We're
call of the house.
Call of the house.
Thank you for attention.
Until we're called out again.
Is that a likelihood?
Yes.
Oh, sure. There's not very many people on the floor.
There are barely. Yes, they do. We have before us an amendment presented by Representative Trahearne that would, as I see it, Representative Trahearne, it would ask, in Section 1, would ask the Commission to adopt new rules or other rules or amend existing goals or other rules that they may deal with marginal lands. In Section 2, this relates to the lot of record. It defines contiguous. It defines where the lot of record would be in the unincorporated area. It would change the effective date instead of December 31st, 1964. To January 1st, 1948, and instead of the top deadline being January 1st, 1975, it would be to the effective date of this act. Defines relative. Under I believe your intent, Representative Trahearne, would be that under the relative definition on contiguous lots, you would eliminate the parent, child, brother, or sister would be spouse, or if the same person owned the same two lots that were contiguous. Is that your intent, Representative?
Yes, that was correct, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, lines 10, 11, 12, and 13 point out that if relatives purchase separate lots where a brother owned a lot and another brother came along and said, gee, I'd like to live in this area and bought a
that
lot adjacent, that would be allowable.
Yes.
But it would still not allow the interchange that we've heard so much about where they were cross-deeding back and forth.
Except you would allow that for brother, sister. Is that correct? That's what I just need to know, Representative Trahearne. Why don't you explain, Beth?
My understanding, Representative Trahearne, is that it still counts as one lot or parcel if it's owned by relatives who purchased from a relative.
That's my understanding.
Okay. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hill.
Yeah, didn't we have testimony from the commission that they wouldn't be able to...